Hey, welcome to You Might Have Missed It, the only podcast for forensic accountants. We go over common tax deductions you might miss in your business accounts. My name is Adam.
I'm confused again. Damn it. Every time. Hi, I'm Nathan, constantly confused by Adam's intros.
And today, you're here to talk about the forms A90 through B91, which are actually really fascinating to me.
I thought I was going over the rural purchase tax deductions.
Well, fuck. I had this whole show
totally
planned out. You know what? Fine. Let's just talk about video games.
Okay.
Another nerd crap for the next hour or so. Ugh.
Are we going back?
Welcome to you Might Have Missed It, the Nerd Podcast.
The Nerd Podcast.
It's been a while.
It has been a while. Holy shit, it's been a couple months.
Like 2 months since since we last recorded an episode of this. I'm kind of forgetting how podcasting works, but I've got my podcasting outfit on.
I'm ready to go. Really?
Yes.
I'm just in work clothes.
I'm not wearing pants.
I guess.
No, I'm sorry.
That would be podcasting.
It's true. Not that you would know that. No. Sorry, ladies. I am wearing pants while I record.
Oh, you do wear pants?
I do. It's a courtesy.
Okay. I sit in a leather chair, so I really need to wear pants.
That's true. And it's actually getting really hot here now.
It is, you know, like mid-60s.
To be fair, though, when I say, like, really hot, I mean like in here where I record.
Oh, okay.
Because I have the computer running, and then every once in a while I'll have the lights going for the streaming setup and stuff like that.
Right. And you have to turn off the fan, and yeah.
Exactly. I can't run those things. I can't leave the window open because apparently there are a lot of sirens, because I could just hear one in the background for half a second there.
Oh, jeez.
So, yeah. This may be the last podcast recording I do. If so, I'm sorry, Mom. You know why.
I was like, what? What? You didn't tell me you were canceling the show. What the fuck, dude?
No. I'm just afraid that I may be in a bad neighborhood.
Okay.
So, in the last 2 months, I can't think of anything that's happened, really, like nerd-related that have been
big. It has been such a dry spell. It's retarded. Mm-hmm. Well, other than the Avengers.
Oh, wait, that got released?
Yeah, that totally came
out. I didn't even realize.
I totally saw it.
I have been hiding under a rock.
I figured you'd.
For the last 2 months. A rock with incredibly good Wi-Fi and a camera, but a rock nonetheless.
And a camera with your green screen
exactly.
And your computer.
Exactly. Listen, I am not very good at hiding under rocks. Let me put it this way.
Yeah.
I ended up finding out that the rock did not really have the space requirements for me, so I just moved back into a house.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Rocket.
And watched the rock.
The rock did at least have better rent.
That's true. And better cooking.
Oh, my God.
That's right. Two rock jokes.
Oh, man.
In one segment. So how was the Avengers?
Sorry, I'm still getting over the rock joke.
Thank you.
That was awesome.
Thank you. I appreciate that. I had a team of writers work very hard on that.
Right? The team of one. Yeah. No, actually, it was really good. It's funny because everything the critics say is right. But I truthfully, personally, I don't see it as a bad thing.
For those of us who may, you know.
Okay. A lot of the critics say, you know, it's like there's too much going on in the action sequences. It's like, yes, but at least they don't do quick cuts. There's too many action sequences. It's like they had, I saw one critic actually said they had 5 action sequences when they really only needed 3. And I was like, no, yeah, they needed 3, but let's do 5.
Why not?
And yeah. And I mean, there's a bunch of, a lot of critics, you know, kind of gave them shit about the one-liners that go all over the place. And really, I mean, once you get a team of people like that together, they're going to have one line inside jokes. That's going to happen, especially with like the crazy ass personalities that you have in the Avengers. And once you guys see, if you guys see the movie, you'll understand. Just yeah, there's one thing that happens with Captain America, and it turns into a running gag for the rest of the film. And it's just you know the kind of people that keep giving him shit about it would definitely just keep giving him shit about it over the entire course.
So the one, I mean, it's actually, when you think about it, really tough to adapt this kind of thing into a movie, because you're taking what is essentially a serialized format that, honestly, like, budgets aside, would work better as like a television series, because that's essentially what comic books kind of are.
Like a cartoon.
Exactly. Or like a cartoon.
Like a mid 90s cartoon.
Exactly. I think we should go back to the mid 90s cartoons
I think we should re-release X-Men again. Yes.
Yes. The mid 90s X-Men cartoon, not the early 2000s X-Men cartoon or the later 2000s X-Men cartoon. Yeah. Or the pre 90s X-Men cartoon that also existed.
What?
Yeah, go look it up on YouTube.
That was crap.
It wasn't great. No, but I mean, it's probably a little bit easier to write for those. And then ultimately, like, I guess the question would be, like, if I were to walk into the Avengers movie, I'm not exactly expecting, like, Shakespeare.
You know.
When I go into something like this, I'm expecting action sequences and quippy one-liners. And then given the director, Joss Whedon, that's kind of his forte.
Yeah, that's his bag.
So honestly, everything you've said so far has been like, I need to go see this. So thanks for watching, everyone. I'm going to go watch The Avengers.
It's awesome.
And we'll be back next week.
I think there's actually a showing tonight, later tonight.
All right, let's go.
Do it.
You and me.
We're there. No, I kid.
Oh, right. Take her too.
She already saw it on Sunday.
Oh, okay. She can sleep through it. Whatever.
She can see it again. I'm sure.
Exactly. I'm sure she'd love to.
She loved it.
No, it's unfortunate because it's so new, so we can't really go into it too much.
Yeah.
And obviously I have not seen it yet, so I don't want you to go into it very much.
No, that's like you notice how I'm stuttering trying not to spoil stuff.
Yeah. Well, I mean, especially the big twist when it's revealed.
This is Avengers and Joss Whedon. What twist?
Wash dies. I'm sorry.
Who?
Never mind. That was for all of you Joss Whedon fans out there.
Oh,
that joke was for you.
That was a Buffy reference, wasn't it?
No.
No?
What the fuck? That was Serenity. You've never seen the movie Serenity based on
the show
Firefly?
Oh, my God.
There we go. All right.
Yes.
All right. Anyway, let's move past that embarrassing and awkward moment for both of us.
I can never get past that.
You never. Most people can't.
I am a leaf of wind.
In 2 months, I have not played nearly as many games as I expected to. Like, new games. Which kind of surprised me, but not really, because I spent the last 2 months kind of reconnecting with other games.
Yeah, you did.
Yeah. Holy shit. No, I did end up playing one newer game, though, which is Pillars of Eternity, which is a game by BioWare. And if you remember Baldur's Gate, then you are one very old, or you played the remastered edition. One of those two things. But if you played the remastered edition, I'm guessing you're also very old, because I'm not sure it would appeal to most people. But it is a game based on kind of that same engine, which I believe is the Infinity Engine, they call it, or something like that. But it is a party-based kind of real-time RTS adventure RPG.
So it's like Shadowrun.
Sort of, but not really, because Shadowrun is more of a tactical, turn-based RPG. whereas this one is actually real time. So you can pause it to give commands and stuff like that, but then otherwise things just play out without, you know, your interaction. However, it's not an easy game if you just do that. Like, if you just, like, kind of RTS and try and, like, zerg your way through, you're not going to make it very far, or you're going to have a very high casualty count.
Sounds like Dragon Age.
A little bit, yeah, definitely. But, like, kind of the precursor to Dragon Age.
Right, right. Yeah, I'm looking at it. It looks kind of Diablo-ish style graphics kind of thing.
Yeah, that would be a good description of it.
Yeah, it's nifty.
It's a great story game, though. If, you know, and I don't know if you know this, but I enjoy games with a good story.
Oh, I knew that.
Oh, you knew that. Okay, good. Thank goodness.
Did everybody else know that?
Yeah, I've never talked about if my you guys love have, of games yeah, with you, stories.
I've never talked about the fact that I love story. No. Yeah, no, of course not.
And never. I was actually kind of a big fan of Baldur's Gate back in the day and Baldur's Gate 2. Those are two of the earliest games that I had on PC, and I think I still actually have the sleeve with, like, the CDs and everything in there. And I do, in fact, own Baldur's Gate Remastered. although they didn't hold up as well as they should have, I think. Uh-huh. But they've managed to fix a lot of the problems with, like, kind of the UI limitations and really made it a little bit more modern with Pillars of Eternity, and it's really good. It's well worth checking out if you get the chance.
Nifty.
And it's a lot of fun. So I would definitely recommend taking a look if you want to feel the adventure of kind of a really well-written, I guess, like, fantasy D&D type of campaign, then Pillars of Eternity is a great game to do it in. If you are looking for, like, a Dragon Age resource management and, like, system type game, probably go play Dragon Age and relive those moments. That is one of the games.
Still living those moments.
Yeah. It does actually introduce some of that. It has this kind of keep system where you're upgrading a keep and you're getting, like, followers and stuff like that.
Oh, that's like a minor point in the actual game. Like, the combat system, you do actually have. Like, you can do it real time, or you can actually hit, like, a pause kind of thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and
no, it's
tell
very
your different
much,
followers yeah. to, yeah.
Yeah, no, I've seen,
we've talked plenty about yeah. Dragon Age.
No, we've seen it go back a couple episodes, and then go back a couple more episodes. You'll get to hear about Dragon Age a lot.
You'll get to be hearing how much Nathan was playing Dragon Age.
Yeah, but they did include kind of this keep management system, which is, it's interesting, but it's not fleshed out enough, I think. So it ends up feeling like kind of a half system overall. And it's a weird way to get some, like, extra quests in and stuff like that. But every time that I was doing it, and it's actually a little buggy too, at least when I was playing. So they may have fixed that because they've been slowly patching it, since I finished playing, but. Yeah, they probably should have taken some more time to fill that out, I think, mm-hmm. before releasing the game. Part of the problem is that this was a Kickstarter project.
Oh,
and okay. I have no problem with Kickstarter projects, but that kind of castle management system was one of the stretch goals that they had for it. And while monetarily they reached that stretch goal, I don't think they had the development time to really fully implement it. So you end up with this kind of side half game that you feel obligated to do, but it never really becomes fun because it never really fleshes out. However, speaking of things that could be better.
That could be better. What?
I don't know. I'm trying to transition into Broforce. It's not working.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Sorry. I'm trying to get excited about it.
Well, you said could be better. And I mean, it really.
It was
a
horrible, horrible transition.
Oh, well. But Broforce was awesome. Especially, I will say right off the bat, don't play Broforce alone.
Did you try?
Oh, yeah. No, like, I played it a while ago.
Oh, okay.
Like, I played it before it was on Steam. And it was actually about the same, just less bros.
Yeah.
And playing it by yourself is really actually kind of boring.
I would imagine, yeah. This but, definitely, when we were playing it together, it definitely felt like the type of game where, like, it would get either, like, super boring really quickly, or it would get super boring really quickly.
Really quickly, yeah. Yeah, no, but it was, it's, you can contest, it was great.
Yeah, no, it was a lot of fun. Like it's one of those...
We planned playing it for an hour, and we ended up going for, what, like, three or so?
Yeah, three or so. I think we finished the first act or something like that, or the game. So, I'm not sure which.
Yeah, we finished the part that we could see, and then we looked, and it was, like, stage four, oh, dear fucking God.
We stopped at some point, and I can't remember why we stopped. I'm sure we could go back to the VOD and watch it over on youtube.com/ you might have missed it, and rewatch those portions of it.
Plug.
I am oh so subtle.
That was amazing.
Yeah. But it was a lot of fun to play, and I think it's one of those games that really lends itself well to team play. And because it's just so exciting and there's all this action going on and all of this silliness. And then you kind of have to rely on each other to, like, you know, you revive each other because there's so much going on the screen that there's no way to really parse it correctly, especially when you're just kind of diving in. So you end up dying a lot, which is fine, which is so much fun.
It was one of those games, unlike, Dark Souls, that made dying fun.
Yeah, yeah, Dark Souls.
Where dying just happens.
Dark Souls is one of those games that gets you to accept video game death very quickly, or you give up. After you played... So going a little bit more about talking about, like, stuff we'd done in stream, is you had played some Dark Souls, and I watched you play some Dark Souls. And it inspired me to go back and try and continue one of my runs into Dark Souls.
Okay.
Because I am only about halfway through Dark Souls at this point.
Okay.
And without spoiling anything, there is a really tough fight called Ornstein and Schmo. And if you've played Dark Souls, you're immediately either rolling your eyes and going, Adam is such a scrub, why couldn't he get past that? Or you're a reasonable human being who doesn't have unnecessarily high expectations of other human beings. And you're like, holy crap, that is a hellish fight.
Retardedly hard.
Exactly, retardedly hard. So I went back and retried that, and then retried it about 7 or 8 more times.
Shit.
And about try number 5, I unplugged the controller and walked away for an hour and then came back and finally beat it. And the one thing, like I said, that game gets you start accepting death a little bit more, and definitely you have to reach a zen-like state with it at some point where you're like, okay, I am fine with dying, and oh fuck, that was cheap shit, why did that happen? But by the time you finish, and I think I said this in the original Dark Souls room, by the time you finish that fight, or finish, you know, that fight you've had so much trouble with, you just are like, oh
my God,
I'm done.
And see, I think that's the part that bugs me about Dark Souls. It's not like, yay, I won. It's more like, oh, thank God that's over.
Actually, I would disagree with that. It is very much like, yay, I won. Because I finished that fight, and I immediately just, like, burst out of the room and just went up to my room and was like, yeah, yeah, who's the guy? The guy that just beat Ornstein and Schmo. That's me. I just got him. I got him. Yeah. And he looked at me and he's like, Adam, I finished the game 3 months ago. And I'm like, you can't take this away from me. You can't take this away from me. And now I have to work up the courage to go back in and ride off that high back into the depths of despair with the next section.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah. But I'm looking forward to it in the sense that I'm dreading it. I have a weird relationship with that game. And I think that's probably true for everyone who plays it and finds some sort of weird sense of enjoyment with it. But Broforce.
Broforce, on the
not quite like that, because you die and die and come back and you have a hell of a time doing it every single time.
Oh, yeah.
Except for that one point where the game bugged out and we spent probably like 30 minutes.
Oh, my God.
Just shooting a tank.
Yeah, that tank at the end. That was like the end. That was crazy.
Yeah.
And it got to the point where it was like muscle memory to shoot it, to jump and shoot it. So we're like talking.
And then finally we're like, okay, it's actually bugged. We should probably start over.
Yeah, and then we just
like, I don't want to start over.
Because I'm jumping.
I think that might have been the ending point for the game for us, was like, okay, we finished that and we've lost all momentum.
Yeah, when we beat that boss, because he was the boss of that area. Mm-hmm. And then we looked at the next area and said, no.
Yeah, no, and I think that's actually one of the, it's both the upside and downside of a game like Broforce, is that it very much relies on momentum, on the momentum of the gameplay mechanics and the momentum of the people playing it to keep it going. And that's, I think, true for almost any party game. And again, it's in early access, which is fine, I guess. I've enumerated my feelings on early access before.
Yes.
But the fact that it's been thrown out there and it's been launched and that sort of thing is that when you hit those points where you're like, okay, we've lost momentum and let's go do something else. Let's go play a different game now. Let's go play some Hearthstone. Something along those lines. It's, you know, but it's a great game up until that point.
Up until you run out.
If you don't bug, then you'll never hit that point, I think.
Yes. Yeah.
And you'll eventually look at the clock and you'll be like, oh, we've been playing this long? Holy cow. Oh, bro, we got to stop.
If we hadn't bugged that, we'd have probably kept going.
Yeah, for a lot longer.
Yeah, the momentum would have kept going and it would have been like, oh shit, I have to go to work. What happened to Sunday?
Yeah, exactly. We've been streaming this long. I have been on camera for 12 hours. I need to go.
Marathon stream.
Oh man, have you watched people do marathon streams?
Oh, those poor bastards.
God. Yeah.
Oh my God.
I've watched a couple 24-hour streams, and by the end of it, I'm just like, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. Why are you doing this to yourself?
They start to get delirious and shit.
And then I look at their viewer count and I'm like, oh, 24-hour stream. That's a thing, huh? So that's why I'm announcing my 24-hour stream. No, that's not true. I'm not announcing
that. That's not happening.
No, not anytime in the near future.
So you're saying there's a chance.
There is a chance. So I'm going to admit, as much as I say, like, the poor bastards, I enjoy the concept of it at the same time, which is watching somebody slowly go insane off of sleep deprivation. But I think you need a very specific game. To be able to do like a 24-hour stream.
You know what I could see you doing?
Hearthstone?
24-hour Hearthstone, like a Road to Legendary kind of thing.
No, that could be really fun. That could be interesting. I think towards the end of the 24 hours, like the Road to Legendary would not only be an uphill climb, it would be an uphill climb with like a boulder tied behind my back. So, I don't necessarily know if I would be able to go all 24 hours. There was an interesting, speaking of like Hearthstone and kind of random things, there was an interesting tournament that I kind of caught bits and pieces of. And it took four like relatively well-known Hearthstone streamers and gave them basically 24 hours. So it was a 24-hour tournament. And the point was to take basically a free-to-play account, although it wasn't a free-to-play account. They had had both Adventure Wings unlocked, and they were getting, like, packs thrown at them throughout the event. So by the end of it, it was like, this isn't really free-to-play, but sure, a starting account. They don't have all of their decks, and they're kind of getting the cards doled out fairly slowly to them. But they had to, they played for 24 hours and had to try and get as close to legend as they could. And whoever finished, you know, whoever got the highest rank at the end of time won, like, $5,000 or something like that. So,
oh, cool.
Yeah, and everyone else got Bupkis.
How high did they get in 24 hours?
One of them got to rank, I want to say, 4. Actually, 2 of them got to rank 4.
Holy 4 or 5. Shit.
Yeah. Again, with basically starting decks. And both of them ended up playing pretty well-trod aggro archetypes in Zoo and, I believe, Mech Mage.
Oh, okay.
Mech Mage, no, Mech Shaman. One of them played Mech Mage until he played Mech Shaman. And they both got up to about rank 4. And then originally they were supposed to do like a best of 3, but both of them by the end of 24 hours were like best of 1. Well, $5,000 on the line.
But I'm going to bed.
Yeah, pretty much. But it was just like, oh my God. They're so tired.
Cards.
Well, because they were also streaming that whole 24 hours. Yeah. So they had a rotating group of casters working and monitoring the games and commenting and stuff like that.
On one channel. Got to rotate.
Yeah, the casters got to rotate. There were, I think, like 6 or 7 of them.
Oh, jeez.
And they'd get to go away for a while and sleep and eat or whatever they needed to do. And then...
so mean.
And then they'd come back and, you know, they'd redo it for a little while. But then the streamers were also on their own personal streams the entire time, interacting with, you know, their own streams, their own chats, that sort of thing, and having to be interesting on that as well. So it wasn't just they got to, like, sit there in the chair and play Hearthstone. They also had to actually be interactive through the whole thing, or at least as interactive as they are normally, which was... It was interesting to see, for sure. And a lot of fun to watch, actually. Quite a bit. Although it was bad because they were using the EU servers, and kind of right in the middle of it, the EU servers went down for like 2 hours.
Yeah, those guys are a lot better at interacting with chat than we are, that's for sure. Because, yeah,
it's a skill.
It really is a skill. And I mean, yeah. Not only is it a skill, but When there's only a few people in chat, it's a motivation thing, too.
Yeah, for sure. So what we're actually saying is if you're watching us and in chat, please talk to us. Because please, we get so lonely.
For the love of God. There's only... I mean, if I'm playing I Am Bread, there's only so much I can talk about.
That's true. You can talk about your love of various breads.
We did.
That's true. We covered that extensively.
That happened.
I covered the history of bread. I made bread on stream.
Yes.
And actually, that would have been impressive.
Posted it on Twitter.
Yeah.
Now, on the other hand, Surgeon Simulator. That was fun to play.
That was an interesting game. I cannot watch that for long stretches of time. Because it makes me squeamish.
You mean you couldn't watch when I was stabbing pencils into that guy's eyes?
No. Like surgery videos and stuff like that.
Hell,
I don't like them.
Like I shoved the pencils in his eyes and then slapped him around until the pencils pulled the eyes out. And then I cut the eyes off.
Yeah. Nope. Couldn't really watch that. I watched, I think, that specific portion because you told me I had to. And then I was like...
Like later on.
Well, that was a thing you did. I can definitely see it being very funny, but...
It was hilarious.
I am way too squeamish for it. There's a reason why I play card games.
So that's why I play Surgeon Simulator.
Card games don't bleed.
Card
games don't bleed.
Well, Goat Simulator was safe.
That's true. Goat Simulator is a lot of fun, though. Did you see the new trailer for the zombie? Goat Z.
Oh, my God. Goat Z. I did. I saw that, and yeah.
I've loved their tagline, which is the only survival game on Steam, not in early access. Yeah. Which feels very true.
Yeah, it's very accurate.
I have not had a chance to play the new expansion yet, but it looks like more basically Goat Simulator.
Oh yeah, it's Goat Simulator with zombies. Mm-hmm. Did you see the Besiege?
I did see you play Besiege, and I've actually watched a couple people play it. And it's one of those games where I think I enjoy watching it more than I would enjoy playing it.
Oh my God, yes! Just seeing the crap that people come up with on mm-hmm. Besiege is a lot more entertaining than trying to come up with that shit on your own.
Yeah, for sure. I'm not a fan of those games. Like, I enjoy people's exploits in them, like hearing their stories and stuff like that. But actually playing them, I sit down and I'm like, okay.
Oh, this dude, is the thing I can do. I had so much fun. I just kept replaying the same level. Because there's this level where there's just a bunch of guys around. Mm-hmm. And the point is, kill the guys.
Yeah.
And...
I saw a couple of your death traps for that, and that was pretty good.
I liked the one that was literally designed to break apart and kill everyone.
That one was pretty good.
It's like just tall wheels, runs into them, falls over, snaps itself in a bunch of parts with a bunch of flailing saw blades all over the place.
For all of these moments, you can go over to twitch.tv/YMHMI. And all of those VODs are down. Sorry, you can go to youtube.com. No, did we highlight that?
Besiege?
Yeah. I don't think we did.
I'm going to say no.
All right. So for all of those moments, you're SOL.
Too bad. Should have watched it live.
We have fun on Twitch.
We do have fun on Twitch. And if the game is not fun, we'll make fun of it.
Yes. That's, you know... I think that's kind of the goal.
Like I was doing with Dark Souls.
Mm-hmm.
Goddamn Dark Souls. Goddamn Dark Souls.
The thing is that Dark Souls punishes you when you make fun of it. If you try and make fun of it, Dark Souls will just spank you.
And it did.
Yes.
And it was mean about it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It don't care.
It wasn't like a nice spanking. It was like, I hate you.
Well, and we kept coming back to it, but one thing with Dark Souls that I think is interesting, and this is a way that a streamer I was watching described it, which is, and this is true for Bloodborne, which just came out for the PS4, which I've watched quite a bit of as well, because I enjoy, because I don't own a PS4. Oh. But it's made by the same company who did Dark Souls from Software. It's a more aggressive version. So rather than like a shield, you have a gun in your offhand. And rather than like blocking and dodging, you're still dodging a lot, but you're also more aggressively interrupting and stuff like that. So, trying to play a more defensive game in that doesn't work as well as it does in Dark Souls. It's more, a little bit more fast paced. Anyway.
But you're still dying.
Oh yeah, no, I mean, that's definitely part of it. And the thing is that the best way that I've heard it described is that the enemies, are not there as cannon fodder. Like when you're fighting the bad guys in Dark Souls or Bloodborne or something like that, they are actually fighting back. Mm-hmm. Like they are not just there for you to mow down through. They are there to kill you. And when you get into a fight with them, It's very much you or them. It's not like in other kind of action adventure games or something like that.
Where you've got the trash.
Exactly. Where you've got the trash and you're running through them. So you look at something like Devil May Cry or Bayonetta or something like that, which again, very different genres from this, but they have that similar kind of look in terms of, you know, a stylized kind of third person style. Mm-hmm. But you go up against enemies and they are there to make you feel really powerful. And when you fight them, you know, they're running off of, you know, the same old kind of script type thing. Whereas in Dark Souls, they're running off a script that's designed to kill you. And they aren't shy about it.
And damage in that game is very real.
Yeah.
You don't take damage at all. It takes one slap, takes a chunk.
Well, especially in the early game. Later on, you can start to deal with that a little bit better. And the game actually changes a little bit the further you progress in it. The thing that doesn't change, though, is really the deadliness of the enemies. By any means.
They will kill you.
They will kill you. They're designed to do it. And you actually feel like it's a fight.
And they're very good at it.
Yeah.
And really, before you even play it, let's just warn you, if you haven't heard anybody talk about Dark Souls ever before,
then you haven't been listening to the podcast and we're disappointed, but welcome.
Yeah. Welcome. new listener. Thank you. But if you go play Dark Souls, it's a fun game. Be prepared to die.
In fact, I believe the title of the version we have is Dark Souls Prepare to Die Edition.
Yes.
They're not effing around. Also, if you start playing, don't take the master key your first playthrough. Just don't do it.
The what?
The master key. It opens up a whole bunch of shortcuts and will make you confused. So don't take that. Take anything else. Otherwise, you will end up in areas you probably should not be in.
Oh, okay.
And just be incredibly confused, and it won't feel quite as fun, I think, okay. Overall. So
I haven't got there yet.
It's from the beginning of the game. When you choose your gift, there's the master key as one of them. And, yeah, just don't take it your first playthrough.
What did I pick?
I have no idea.
Me neither. Oh, well.
I'd have to go back and check.
Yeah. On the stream.
On the stream.
I don't think we can. I don't think I highlighted that either.
No. We've been pretty bad about highlighting stuff.
Sorry.
Anyway, there was one more thing I wanted to talk about before we come to a close. And that is a TV show, which I started watching over the break. And it's really good. Like, really super good. It's called Orphan Black.
Oh, and I've been meaning to watch that.
It's just starting its third season right now. And I started watching it, obviously, over the break, because otherwise I would have talked about it before by now. And it's on Amazon. So if you have Amazon Prime, you can actually watch the first two seasons for free.
Sweet!
Yeah, so there you go. And
you can tell who has Prime memberships.
Yeah, exactly. Everyone's just like, oh, okay, yeah, I can definitely go check that out. But it is, it's a story, and I don't want to spoil anything, but honestly, this gets kind of spoiled within the first couple episodes. So knowing this is probably not going to affect you too much, but it's about basically I'm not going to spoil it. So I'll go with the simplified version here. It's basically about a woman who is this kind of, single mom and kind of this, basically kind of hustler. She's kind of a drug addict type of person, criminal element. But she's recovered and she's coming back into town to get her daughter and start their life over, essentially, you know, to be a good mother type of situation after kind of running away for a while. And she sees a woman on the train tracks who looks exactly like her, like exactly, step off the train tracks and commit suicide. And she takes over her identity and just gets pulled into this huge conspiracy where she meets other characters who also look exactly like her. And I'm not going to reveal the twist, which I think gets revealed like in the third or fourth episode or something like that. But the girl who, the woman who plays, her main character is Sarah. And the woman who plays all of these versions of herself, Tatiana Maslany. God, I actually looked up how to pronounce her name before this started, and I've already messed it up. Tatiana Maslany is absolutely incredible at doing this. She plays, so there's about four main characters that she plays.
Holy
in this show, including one of the antagonists. And she plays them so well off of each other. Like they, you forget very quickly that it is, you know, like you don't forget because obviously it's the same woman playing all of these characters, but you forget that they are not different people very easily because she just does such a good job of differentiating them in terms of like, you know, just in acting and then in style and so on. And even when, because there's certain points in the story where she has to have one of the characters pretending to be one of the other characters who is also her. And she does a good job of that, even to the point where you're like, oh, this is that character pretending to be this character, all of whom are played by the same person.
I'm so confused.
And she then also plays like four or five other minor characters. Yeah.
Wow.
and does an incredible job doing it. So if nothing else, if you want to watch a feat of just incredibly good acting and actually really good technical excellence, this is a show to watch. And if you want a show that just has a damn good story that just constantly pushes forward and surprises you, and I will admit freaks the hell out of you at times, this is a show to watch. I highly, highly recommend sitting down and watching Orphan Black and actually watching it. Because it is really good. And so far I've been watching, I ended up, purchasing season 3, and I've been kind of watching them as the episodes come out. I'm up to episode 2, because episode 3 airs tonight when we're recording this, which is Saturday, and we won't be releasing until Tuesday. So obviously that will have come out by then, but they have done an incredible job of just pushing the pace forward, and, they just do not let up with this story. So. I recommend catching up and then going and buying the new season, watching it, because it's just that good. You should definitely watch it.
Yes.
You.
I think, Oh, the listener, not me. Okay.
You should also watch it.
Yeah, I know.
I think you'll enjoy it. Anyway, this has been You Might Have Missed It. As always, you can join us here every week for more of this, I guess. You can talk to us, let us know what you think of the show, let us know if there's something that we should be checking out or looking at, or just telling us we're horrible people or scrubs or something like that, over at YMHMI on Twitter or on Facebook at facebook.com/YMHMI. You can also comment on the website at YMHMI.com. And you can check selected highlights from our Twitch stream over on youtube.com/ You Might Have Missed It. You can also catch us over on Twitch at twitch.tv/YMHMI. My show is on Sunday afternoons, probably starting at about 12 p.m. Mountain Standard Time, which is a whole bunch of conversions I trust you can do on your own.
2 p.m. Eastern, 1 Central, noon Mountain, 11 Pacific.
Good job.
The pause was because I know he hates it when I do that.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyway, I don't know how to end this now. How do we end podcasts?
I don't know. It's been so long.
Do we end it with a song?
Yeah, the theme song.
Right. But I've come up with some lyrics for the theme song.
Oh, dear Christ.
That I think you're going to enjoy.
All right.
A one, a two, a one, two, three.
Nope. May 12th, both Final Fantasy IV, The After Years, which is kind of a sequel-ish kind of thing to Final Fantasy IV, which I still maintain being the best Final Fantasy.
Which Final Fantasy?
The one with Kane and Cecil.
Oh, sure. Whatever.
The guy who goes from Black...
Final Fantasy VI is obviously the best Final Fantasy ever.
Eh.
I will knife fight you, sir.
I will. I swear to God. I have a pen. I will poke you with it.
I will dance fight you.
No. So that, so Final Fantasy IV, The After Years, and the PlayStation 4 release of 10 and 10-2 come out.
Because you really need another release of 10 and 10-2.
I totally bought it.
So you've got the PC remaster version.
No, there was no PC remaster.
Or there was the remastered version on...
PS3,
and now they're releasing it on PS4.
Yes, there was,
and you have to buy it again.
Yes, there's the PS3 version, the Vita or the PlayStation Vita version, and now there's going to be a PlayStation 4 version.
I think there's just this whole like secondary market of Final Fantasy games now, except it's like a new secondary market or something like that, where they're going to release it like next Final Fantasy X, the board game. And it will be like, I have to own this.